Welcome to Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag NowChurch. Thank you, and enjoy today's service.
So let's go right into the Word. Romans 12, 2. We're going to continue on in this series of mind games, which has been amazing, which Pastor Richard, I'm following up on him. Last week, he came up here and he sat on a chair because he's, just being wise with his knee. And he sat and he delivered a thick, meaty message. And at the end of it, I'm inspired. And at the other end of it, my mind, I'm thinking like, I got to follow that. Like, did you leave anything for me? Like, it's so good. Like, there's so much. So if I preach anything that you're like, yeah, Pastor Richard said that a few weeks ago. I know. It's that good. So anyway, but Romans 12, 2, this is Passion Translation. It says this. It says, stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, through a total reformation of how you think. Now listen to this. This will empower you. Who will it empower?
You.
Not you, me. Making sure you get that. It will empower me. You're right, you. Yeah, but it will empower you. It'll empower me to discern God's will as you live. Listen, a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes. This is amazing. God has a new life planned for you that is satisfying, it's beautiful, and it's perfect in his eyes. Now listen a second. Think of your life now and think of a life that is beautiful, that is satisfying, that is perfect. I don't think anybody in the room can say that 100% they are there yet. We are being transformed. So guess what? This message is for every single person. So you can't be saying, yeah, I already know that. Okay, no, you don't. So let's listen, okay? So John 10:10 also says this too. The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his plan for your life. Realize there's two cosmic plans out there for your life. One is for death, destruction. It's every negative thing. But God, his plan, my purpose, Jesus says, is to give them a rich and satisfying life. That's so funny to me. Still, I go back to this. So funny to me that sometimes you get a kickback from people saying, no, it's rich and satisfying. No, I feel like, you know, I'm called to misery. I'm, you know, don't touch that area because I'm a sufferer. You know, well, why would you defend that? Why don't you want what Jesus wants for us? So anyway, so Casey Treat says it this way. If you can change a thought, you can change your life. If you can change a thought, you can change your life. Because your life is led by thoughts, things that you believe already. Right? So let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity to preach your word. And Holy Spirit, I just pray that it would be just what we talked about. Just what you said. Just what you put in my heart. Exactly the way you said it and prepared it for. And Lord, we just give you praise and I give you glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So as Pastor Lindsay said, he just came back from vacation. I just came back a week ago and I was just fresh coming in on Sunday morning, last Sunday morning. And so I'm just getting acclimated this week. But I was reflective of some things that happened during vacation time. And there was some really cool stuff. I'd split up vacation. And I did 1 week in June and 1 week in July. And I would not suggest that because there's layers of rest. And I'm all about like, go, enjoy, get everything I can, pack it all in, let's go, let's do. And, and then I came back. I'm like, I'm refreshed in one way, but rested, you know what I'm talking about? You know, Yeah. So anyway, so I'm working on that, and next year we'll be much more wise. So, but it was good. It was a lot of fun. I feel like a kid. Like, we had so much fun. And, we went, and I was able to enjoy a gift that Pastor Richard, Pastor Gail gave to me 4 years ago. So bad. And she would be like, have you gone there yet? No, I haven't gone there yet. I haven't had anybody to go there with me. But we went over to Daytona, and we got on the track, and we went 170 miles an hour. Woo, buddy. That was like, yeah. And so me and my son, Tim, had come from Denver, so he was spending time with us, and he's used to traveling fast because he likes the high-speed chases. He's a cop in Denver. But that was faster than he's usually gone to. That was fun. But another thing that we did during that time, I've kind of got into this new thing, this new hobby, this new thing of kayak fishing. Not fishing for kayaks, getting on a kayak and fishing. And so... there's limited real estate on a kayak because it's only, you know, so wide and maybe like 10 foot long or so. So it's piling on everything that you think you need on this little piece of equipment and getting out into the water. And so we're over on the intercoastal and just enjoying a great time. And here's what we did. We decided, you know, I'm going to take my son who hasn't been before. I've been a few times, and I want to take somebody that's been a lot. So Gary, one of our ushers, he's like, he fishes all the time. So I'm like, okay, he'll know everything that we don't know. So we go with him. The idea was for everyone being on kayaks, then you bring all of your stuff, and you kind of divvy it up so that you're not all overloaded on one. So we all got out there on the water in one spot, and then we're fishing, nothing happened, fishing for another. And as time goes by, we just kind of spread out, right? And somehow we lost the thought of staying together. I don't know where or when that happened, but we were focused. And so the next thing I know, like, you know, Gary is like way over there. I like see him. He's just like just at the very, very range of yelling to get a hold of him, right? And then I look around, my son, I lost him. I'm looking like he went a total different direction. He's never been there before. And so I'm thinking, I got to call him, right? I got to find my son, you know? How am I going to answer my wife coming home? I lost our son. He's just somewhere in the Gulf. I don't know. Anyway, so, but, you know, he's 30 years old, so I think he can find his way. So anyway, so I'm sitting in the water, and I'm like, I need to call him. Oh, I don't have my phone. It's in the water bag. It's out with Tim. I can call Gary. I'll yell to Gary to call Tim. He don't know Tim's number. And I'm like, okay, wait. I'll yell in the. I don't know his number. I'm like, maybe I can have Gary call my wife to call my son to tell him that I'm looking for him, right? And I'm sure what she would be like, Gary, why are you calling me? Where's my son? What did Chris do with my son? So anyway, so all of this stuff is happening. And I'm really genuinely concerned about the my son being gone. But then fish happened. We were fishing. I'm sitting and I'm anchored out and I've got all my stuff everywhere. My stuff is like... You know, okay, if you understand how much is going on, I've got my fishing tool, my tackle box, my anchor, my bait buckets back here, my net, my water and snacks, and all of this stuff is all piled around me, all organized so that when it happens, I'll know where everything is. But then there's the excitement, right? And so I saw this, like, this disturbance coming, this pack of fish, like, it was like a herd of them. See, some people are calling it a school. It was beyond that. So it was like, this thing coming. I'm like, get the thing, get the shrimp on, you know. First cast, bam. Oh, my gosh. I'm reeling this thing in. I'm so excited. I'm yelling. No one's around me. Hey. Oh, hey. No one's here. No one. Hey, look. No one. Right? Just to want to share it with somebody. Want to share it with my son. He's nowhere. Pulling it in. And then I'm getting it up there, and I'm like, hey, yo, Gary, there's fish here. Right? Thinking he'd be excited. He's way out there, he's casting, like, What kind of fish? I'm like, I don't know. It's big. You need help? Yeah, because there's fish. And so he's like taking his time over there. And I'm thinking, what are you doing? There's no fish over there. You're not catching any fish. I'm catching fish. You need to be here. And so I know what's going on in his mind. He's like, Pastor Chris getting all excited about catching some little fish, probably some little catfish or something like that. You know, Pastor Chris gets excited. I'm like, this is for real, right? And I get this fish up here, and it's a nice red fish. See some of you, red fish, nice red drum. These are eating fish, if they're the right size. So I'm like getting him up. He's big, and I'm like, okay, it could be like on the border. I don't know. I'm like scurrying around. I'm like trying to keep him alive, you know, on the hook, because I want to make sure I release him if he's not going to be big enough, right? And so I'm digging through my stuff in my tackle box, pulling out things. Where's the pliers and where's the thing to get the hook out? And then, you know, I pulled the net over and I scooped him up my brand new net that the handle broke, you know, and I'm like, what? And I grab it into the water to catch my net so I don't lose that. And my fishing rod here is sliding over in the water and I'm holding this and I'm like, all this chaos is taking place and I'm just trying to get this fish. And I know the fish, I'm looking down at him and I'm thinking like, he's thinking like, come on, man. I'm like, I'm dying here. I'm like, buddy, just stay awake long enough because I might kill you later and eat you. So just hang on. Hang on, buddy. Gary's coming. And he finally rolls up, you know, and he's like, ah, it's a good fish. I know it's a good fish. You know, we got a chance to measure it and all that stuff. And so here you go. Here's the moment. There you go. Got him up here. What you don't see is there is chaos all around. All my stuff's all pulled up. There's fishing line everywhere because I got all excited and stuff. And like, it was this chaotic moment. And but you know what the end of the story was? That fish was delicious. He was on the plate that night, and me and Bonnie ate, and that was fantastic. Tim was off eating somewhere else, and he missed it. But you go ahead and take that down. But it was the moment of excitement, but it was the clutter of stuff that was just chaos. And just so you know, we did find my son. So I'm just letting you know that. That wasn't... Don't worry about that. But it just brought up a whole point of clutter. So today, I'm talking about mind clutter. Mind clutter. Because, you know, you'd have all the stuff all packed up, and you'd be like, in the moment, you're like, where did I pack? I packed it. I just don't know where it is at the moment. So mind clutter is the feeling of being overwhelmed by excess thoughts, worries, and mental distractions, hindering focus and clarity. Anybody been there? For reals, most of you are there like all the time, right? I mean, studies show that a cluttered environment can negatively impact our cognitive functions, emotional well-being, and even our physical health. It can impact our ability to focus, process information, and make decisions. The stress from clutter can potentially contribute, listen, to weight gain and sleeplessness. Clutter. Clutter. See, ha ha, some of you are like, yeah, I feel that. Clutter. You know, this is why we keep our house so clean and organized. That's not true. My wife does this. I told you before, my wife has this thing where like, if I'm looking around for something that I knew was just here, and in my brain, my first thought is, she threw it away. I know it. She threw that one away. I know she threw it away. And I'm thinking this kind of conspiracy in my mind, and she's being all happy. I'm like, oh my God. You threw it away, didn't you? If I ask her, she'll say, no, see, look, it's right there. It's like in plain sight. How did that happen? Hey, remember that pillow that you didn't like, you know, from Corey's apartment, right, that we had? I threw it away. Thank God, she says. Thank God. It's awful. Hey, listen, guys, take note. Hang on to something just long enough, see, until the tension rises, and then when you throw it away, you get points. Write that down. No. Anyway, clutter. Clutter can just mess you up. Clutter in your environment, clutter in your mind really messes you up. When your mind is cluttered, there's a strain of sorting through mounds of random information to retrieve the relevant things you need at the moment, right? I call it like the pinwheel, the buffering pinwheel. You know what I'm talking about on your computer? This is how it works. When Pastor Richard and Pastor Gail, full of vision and purpose, call Pastor Chris in the middle of the day, and they say, hey, remember that we had this conversation 2 weeks ago about such and such, and you were supposed to do that, tell me how it went. And then there's this pause, because my pinwheel is spinning. I'm buffering. And they may be thinking, well, you know, he is getting older. And what I typically do is maybe you do this too. I start talking, and about halfway through, I engage, and it makes sense. You know what I'm talking about? Well, it's a funny thing that you should ask about that, because the other day I was just thinking and praying about it, and then it just, and then Ashley, and then, oh, and the guy, yeah, that guy, and that, I'm letting it all out now. It's a true serum. But it's weird how you file things in your mind, you know, like what happened to the guy, and then your brain, I just see a picture in my brain where I'm going like, file it. The guy, not there, guy, two weeks ago, the guy with the hair. Oh yeah, the hair. Oh, there it is. Guy with the hair. That's what we're talking about. But what is that, all that stuff, the clutter, the amazing amount of information that we're trying to process. So here we're talking about mind games, renewing your mind, and we're going to get into this. It's about exposing the enemy's narrative of your life. Remember, the devil has a plan for you. It's exposing the enemy's narrative of your life and replacing it with God's narrative. Replacing it, not adding to it, not supplementing it, it's replacing it. So there's a full transformation when your life is brought in line with his design, which is that perfect and satisfying life. When you're transformed by God's word, you can know the fullness of life in Christ, his will. You can know it. We had just so many times people talk about, I just wish I knew what the will of God was. Guess what? As you're renewing your mind, that comes into focus and it's more clear. Amen. But if you're not addressing all that stuff, that clutter throws you off. It can throw you off. It can cause you to misread God's purpose and in some cases, even get in the way of God. And you're thinking you're doing God's will, but you're like, actually in his way as he's working things out. I want to give you something that may encourage you, but realize the disciples, I mean, thank God that the word was written in such a way just to show the real life, the real situation, because the disciples, sometimes they're on and sometimes they're off, right? And so here's a great example of Simon Peter when he was dealing with a little bit of clutter in his mind. When he got it right, Jesus was saying, this is, let's see, Matthew 16. We'll just read this, 16, verse 16. Jump up there. There you go. Simon Peter answered, well, you're the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, you're blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. You didn't get this from worldly wisdom. You didn't get this from the culture. You got this from heaven. Well done. Now I say to you that you are Peter. Change of name usually signifies something that happened in a person, a revelation that took place in the person. So he says, you are Peter. You're a rock. You went from just blowing around as a reed to a rock. And upon this rock, this revelation, I will build my church, and the powers of hell will not conquer it. What is that talking about? A church that is unshakable and the enemy cannot overcome it is a church that has a revelation transformation mindset. We know what we believe, right? And because of that a strength of conviction, there's also strength of authority that takes place. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. Whatever you permit on earth will be permanent in heaven. Basically saying whatever you put up with is going to be, but whatever you enforce will be, right? And then just a few verses later, this same Simon turned Peter, all like, yeah, I got it right, guys. Heard from heaven, you heard Jesus, right? Very few verses later, it says this, from then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem, that he would suffer many terrible things at the hands of the elders and leading priests and the teachers of religious law. He would be killed. He was clear. He would be killed. And on the third day, he would be raised from the dead. But Peter took him aside and said, oh, no. This will never happen to you. No. Heaven forbid, Lord. No. No, see, Jesus, I'm Peter. Remember? I'm the guy who heard from heaven. So I'm just telling you now. Let me counsel you. I know you're under a strain, Jesus, but this will never. Remember who you are. Remember who I told you are, Jesus? Right? And what did Jesus say? He turned to Peter, get away from me, Satan. Whoa, come on. Let's just lighten it up, Jesus. That's a bit harsh. He was dealing with the spirit that found a voice in Peter. How did that spirit find a voice in Peter? Because Peter wasn't settled on realizing the things of God, right? He didn't fully, because he was still looking at something. This is what Jesus said. This is what's telling right here. He said, you are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's. What is that? An unrenewed, unregenerated mind. Still thinking of the things that it makes sense in the world. This is how we do it. This is how it's always been done, right? And so he says, get thee behind me, Satan. Another translation, Jesus tells him, you are not mindful of the things of God. You are mindful of the things of it. Mindful. Your mind is full. Your mind is full of the things of man, but not full of the things of God. Right? Do you see that? So check it out. When we're talking about being transformed, getting rid of the clutter in our mind, this is absolutely necessary for us, for one, to know the will of God, but also to enter into this full life that he wants to have for us. Because we have things, this narrative, this mixture still working in our mind, trying to pull us downward instead of upward. Okay? So just going through this whole process, a cluttered mind clouds your view and causes you to misinterpret at times. So, next point I want to bring up is transformation is a lifetime process. It's not an instant. This is not a quick fix. Okay? Understand that from the beginning. I want to make sure that as we're talking about this, we may move on to another series in just a few weeks, but understand we're not moving on from this message. Okay? It's not, because it's transformation, it's not adding the word of God like any other piece of information to your existing opinions. Transformation is hearing the truth. Listen, hearing the truth, confronting your old beliefs, repenting, and replacing those old mindsets with God's truth. That's a lot of activity that takes place. Thank you, PTK. Requested that I do this again. Transformation, hearing the truth, confronting old beliefs, repenting, and replacing old mindsets with God's truth. That's a lot of activity. So here's my thing to you, my encouragement to you. Sometimes this thing happens instantly. You come in, you hear a message, you read the word. It's like, thank God, what a good promise. I just received that promise. Thank you, Jesus. You love me so much. I just received that as truth. Other times, it's coming in, maybe in this message, and something's spoken, and it hits you, and you feel a little salty about it. Pick it on me again. Just my way. It's always been me. That's my personality. Right? And it's rubbing you. That's the beginning of it. And then there's that place for confrontation, realizing you may be wrong. I may be wrong. Yeah, you may have been thinking wrong all this time, telling all your friends it's this kind of way, and it's not. Right? Jesus said, you've heard it said, but I tell you. He said this over and over and over because he was always dealing with mindsets, always dealing with this stuff. And so realizing this transformation, that sometimes it's instant, sometimes it's a wrestling match. Sometimes, listen, I do appreciate when people go through a very genuine wrestling in their faith. I appreciate it because at least if they're being honest, they're wrestling. They're not discounting it. They're not throwing it away. They're just wrestling with it to get to the truth. And I trust that God is big enough, as long as their heart is open and teachable, their heart is big enough, God can work in them and they can come out of it with a sure foundation of faith that is rock solid. Because they know what they believe because they fought for it. All of our life will be transformed, being transformed into his image. So, again, this is another thing from Casey Treat. It's repeat until renewed. Repeat until renewed. Getting a word of God inside of your life, repeat until renewed. Over time, you'll see results. Your attitudes will follow your transformation. The attitudes, the way you feel, will follow your transformation. It won't be before it. It'll many times be after it and catch up. Amen? Good. Can I go forward? Thank you. Next one. Transformation is warfare. Well, the greatest battles are fought in the mind. Another great quote. But this is a verse that Pastor Richard preached just this last week, and it just exploded in me, so I wanted to kind of like preach it again. So 1 Timothy 4:1. In the Amplified, but the Holy Spirit expressly and unmistakably declares that in the latter times, some will turn away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful and seductive spirits and doctrines of demons. So what is that talking about? The Holy Spirit explicitly, that's serious. The Holy Spirit is saying, listen, this is very important. In the last day, there's going to be an increase of spirits that are going to seduce and try to pull you away from faith. Amen? So he said, just be watching this influence. And then he says, it's a seduction. So a seduction is to work a belief that... a belief or seducing you into a belief or courses of action that are not beneficial to you, that ultimately lead to destruction. It doesn't look like destruction right away. Most of the time it doesn't. You know, I'm talking about the process of erosion. It's very small at the beginning. But then, you know, if you look at things like the Grand Canyon, that is the end of an erosion that has taken place over a long period of time. And so just thinking of that, it's some of these things that come that are even very small. So here's another little analogy from vacation. We went out on a boat in the Gulf way out with my son-in-law and daughter and family. And so here's one of the things. He holds up this little thing as we're driving. He says, we got to remember this. He's got, you know, this big boat. Got to remember this. I'm like, okay, what is this? It says, always remember the boat plug. Oh, yeah. Somebody, oh yeah. Always remember the boat plug. What is the boat plug? You have this big boat, but all too many times, this is one of those things that happens most common when you're looking out and you see a boat that sunk. Yep. Or either on its way back to the dock and it didn't quite make it. Because they forgot the boat plug draining the boat, and then they get out there. They don't notice you're taking on water until you get out there. Now you got to turn around and get back quick. And if you don't, you're sunk. So what is the point in this? It's the small things that sink your boat. Uh-huh. It's those small things. It's those things we put up with. Right? It's the thoughts of, oh, good enough, fair enough. Right? It's, not a big deal. That's not a big deal. It's stuff like, I'm sure he or she, they didn't really mean it. Maybe they did. Maybe there's something there. Maybe there's something that you need. I'll take care of it tomorrow. Right? Just delays. All these kind of things. We'll let it pass this time. Right? It's these kind of things that sink your boat. Because you start taking on water. You start taking on these ideas and these philosophies that are slowly seducing and drawing you away. What it is it's revealing your weakness of your conviction, honestly. It's revealing the weakness of your conviction because it's showing, it's revealing double-mindedness in your life of having two different opinions that are still operating. You're believing this way on a Sunday, but then Monday, you see? You have your attention. This was so fun when it began. I'm still having fun. I hope you are. But listen, this is the reality of it and just realizing, hey, the double-mindedness really does take an effect on our life. It's the clutter in our mind. I listened to a podcast this week and it ended with these interviews saying, how can we pray for you? And the person they were interviewing thought for a while. This is dead space in podcast, this silence. And then he asked, pray for courage in my convictions. That I can stand on convictions regardless of the cost. And I thought, boom, that's good. That's strong. That I can stand on that courage regardless of the cost. Stand on that conviction regardless of the cost. I believe and it is settled. And there may be some reactions by other people. Or it could cost me money in my career. Because I won't bow to such certain things. I won't take on certain opportunities because I know it crosses my conviction. Hello? Right? All of these different things. It's just that area. Don't be surprised when you are renewing and transforming your mindset and those resulting convictions are so solid. Don't be surprised if it creates conflict and reaction in others. Because they're used to your old way of thinking. And it's comfortable for them. And the moment you start to step up, you cause a discomfort because a rift takes place. Something shakes in the spirit. And they feel you've changed and you don't fit anymore. You all right with this? Yes. Did you want the change? Yes. Did you want God's life for you? It's higher? Yes. Then you will change and other people might not change as quick as you. Are you okay with that? Okay, amen. This is good. Watch what happens. Just watch what happens. It'll be fun. This is going to be fun. Because then they're going to be realizing there's something going on. Why are you changing? Then you can give them this kind of God life that's happening on the inside of you. So next point I want to bring about is this. Simple. Eat clean. Eat clean. This is, again, from my vacation because my son is all into this personal fitness. So he came down and he got me on a whole new fitness plan. And one of the thoughts is this. You can't outwork a bad diet. Some of you don't want to hear this. You don't want to hear it. You can't outwork a bad diet. Oh, my gosh. I need to hurry. You can't outwork a bad diet. So this is one of the just a simple thing. Philippians 4, 8 through 9. Let's just read this real quick. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things that are true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious. The point is, it's the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things of praise. Not things to curse. What this verse is saying is there is a place for you to fill yourself up with good. That's the filter. You filter out all the bad stuff that undermines you. And you hold to the good that you don't have to. Listen, some of the good stuff, you don't have to transform from good eating. You had to transform from bad eating, right? So that is the word. That's the word of God to you. Boy, oh boy. I want to shut this down because I am out of time. Can I give you one last point? One last point? Just one last point. Last point is this. Transformation is not merely intellectual, it's spiritual. This is not self-help. This is not thinking a better way. It is, but it's so much more than that. Because it's a supernatural work by the Spirit of God. This first verse we read, it said, we are transformed by the Holy Spirit empowering. What it's talking about is the Holy Spirit will empower the Word of God to bring about change in your life. But it is the Holy Spirit empowering the Word. It's not you and your striving that changes you. It's not your ability to memorize and repeat verses because that's a level that you can start on repeating that verse, but there's something that you need to be believing God, the supernatural power of the Spirit of God working inside of you to change you. And he will do a miracle of transformation inside of you. I'll give you two verses real quick, and you can write them down and look them up later. 1 John 2:27 talks about the Holy Spirit who is with us will teach us what is true and not a lie. He will teach you everything you need to know because what he teaches is true. He's right there to teach you. And then the other thing is John 14:26, it says, the Father sends the advocate, my representative, that is the Holy Spirit. He will teach you everything and he will remind you. The mind clutter where you're like, what is that? You know, if you can get into the point where you're like, Lord, show me how to do this. The Spirit of God will do a miracle. He will go back in those files and pull what you need in the moment and bring it right up. Man, I don't know how many times that has happened to me. So many times I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing here. Holy Spirit, you know exactly because you're the creator of the world. Can you give me up? Thank you. Right? The Spirit of God. So I want to build your faith on all these things, realizing that it is God in you wanting to have a better life. Let me just say it this way. We'll end on this thought. Pastor Lindsay, you got some good music for us? He's awesome. He's awesome. Listen, it's this. God designed a beautiful, satisfying, and perfect life for you. He gave his only son, Jesus, to forgive all of your mistakes so that you could enter this life. He gave you his written narrative, his word, so that you could see what he has in store for you. He sent his Holy Spirit to empower and help you to walk in his purpose. So what do? All you need to do is respond and receive. Respond and receive. Over and over every day of your life. Respond and receive to what he's spoken, promised, and is helping you to be able to receive it in your life. Isn't that awesome? Man, God is so for you, he is not against you. I'm gonna close your eyes just for a second. That's one of the biggest lies right there. That I'm in this mess and just God's against me. That's such a lie. He is so for you, you have no clue how much he is in your corner and wanting to change your life. He so desires it. You want life change? Let me show you how much God wants life change for you because his desire eclipses your desire. He wants it more than you do. Even more. And he's done everything he can to be able to provide a way. It all starts out with this receiving Jesus as Lord of your life and not just somebody you visit on Sunday, but someone that you really gave your life to. So right now, if that's you, I just want to pray for you. And I want to pray for everybody really at this moment. If you're just at this point where you're really being challenged to transform the way you think, that you know you're not thinking God's way, his height for your life, I want to pray for you right now. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. And I thank you, Jesus, for the messages that have been coming forth this whole month. Pastor Richard and Pastor Gail teaching. Lord, thank you for all that you've been doing already in our life. And Lord, we just pray that what you've done, that we receive it. Lord, you have a better way for us. Open our eyes to see your way is better. I'm going to break into that song. Your way is better. Lord, we just believe your way is so much better than what we've been walking in. And Lord, I just pray, you agree with me, I pray that you're invited in to transform my mind. And that if I'm holding anything that resists you, I pray that you'd reveal it, expose it, and help me to repent and put it away, to just dismiss it and get it out of my life, and to replace it with your will, which is better, your word, which is better. And Lord, I thank you for continuing to renew our mind. It's step by step. You said it's line upon line, here a little, there a little. Lord, help us to align our lives every day, every week, align more and more into your will. And Lord, I pray for everybody here, Lord, that they would come into a place where their life really is your purpose of perfect satisfying, fulfilling the richness of your presence in their life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Awesome, awesome. Okay, there you go. You can clap for the word. We want to encourage you as well, too. You can utilize our Decide, text Decide. We have some things online there that you can look up. And specifically, if you're at the point where, like, I'm just wanting to know more about what this Jesus life looks like, check out the Decide Now. We have a video, and it's very practical things. You know, one of the best ways to transform your life? One of the best ways? Be here. That's it. Say it with me. Be here. Because every time you hear a message, it's changing, transforming. You're turning into what God has for you, all right?
Thanks for joining us at Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, event registration, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag #NowChurch. Thank you,